All right, this is Pure Decking for December the 5th, 2014. This is the show about stuff that interests me, like our current police state, information security, and drinking to make the voices nicer. I'm Morps, and tonight we have with us a professional gynecologist impersonator, Big Brother Lord, a not so professional breast cancer impersonator, doctor impersonator. I screwed that joke up. BSV.
What, my degree isn't supposed to be in colon gran?
Stop impersonating cancer.
Professional
cancer.
You're
what's wrong with this place.
And we have with us, finally, he's not a doctor, but he pretends to be one on internet chat rooms, Madman. And finally,
that's
with us...
That's completely legitimate advice that I distribute.
Wow, Madman, your microphone is terrible.
It's a tin can on a string.
Damn it. I had a good joke. How about now? Am I better?
Yes, you're better. Yes. Try your joke again.
I said, but that's completely legitimate medical advice that I'm distributing for PayPal accounts.
And finally with us, we have the noted author of So You've Decided to Electrocute Yourself, Suicide with Household Appliances, and my personal favorite, Here, Hold My Beer, RU486.
It's a pleasure to be here, Mops. Thank you.
So, anyways, a little bit of station news. I'm playing around with new back-end services. Might draw my hand at building a new stream just because I can. And, you know, it's been a year and you get twitchy. So, we'll play with that. If it works, awesome. If not, well, nobody will know any different because we won't change over to it. So, there's that. Still planning on doing the Redbubble store. And Suave's gotten his internet access back, so as soon as we can get with him and get some of the imagery that he had put together for us, we'll see what we can do about that. So, that said, getting straight into the discussion here, our government's getting pretty desperate when it comes to consumer access to encryption. I mean, it's just getting downright sad at this point. And the FBI's been saying some really nutty shit about, like, yes, because Apple has encrypted their iPhones, a child will die. It's like, what are you going to tie them up and shoot them yourself? I mean, what's the attribution here? I'm a little confused on this point.
I see that's how the encryption works.
It runs on the souls of dead children.
We need 128 souls now.
But go like firebomb an orphanage. Got a new Apple line coming out.
What? You've never heard of proper sacrifices to the computing gods?
I remember back in my day, it was chickens. Now we're on to children. What's next?
Stallman.
Say, what do we get? Quantum computing. There's not enough volcanoes in the world to keep those going.
We just have to munch all the Trekkies into one. We'll be fine.
The cloud now running on blood of virgins.
You know, there are people out there who would honestly believe that if you told them that. It's like, oh yeah, no, they're totally servers are totally powered by black magic. We've got dudes in robes in the back chanting. That's just Larry's D&D group, dude. It's like, yeah, no, just roll with it. They'll believe you.
There's the depression.
You're welcome. So, anyways, the Register had a fun story, and actually Gizmodo did a big pick apart on this, too. Apparently, the FBI has turned to the All Writs Act at this point, which is the kind of the generic law from the, you know, 1789, that says that a judge can pretty much compel someone to aid. What was it? The FBI has made it no secret it hates Apple and Google's efforts to encrypt files in your smartphone. Court documents have emerged showing the feds are willing to go. Paperwork has shown two cases where federal prosecutors have cited the All Writs Act, which was enacted in 1789 as part of the Judiciary Act, to force companies to decrypt information on gadgets. So this isn't even any kind of a wiretapping law. This is just the basic, a judge can order you to do it. But they're just asking judges to order people to start decrypting crap.
But you need probable cause to request my data in the first place. You shouldn't have it at all, not to mention whether or not it's encrypted.
Yeah, let's see. The All Writs Act gives the courts the right to issue all writs necessary or appropriate in aid of their respective jurisdictions and agreeable to the usages and principles of the law. So in other words, the thing's so fucking overly broad, it's not even funny. Because it really is, if a judge orders you to do it in connection with the case, you're kind of required by law to do it. But
that was the restriction on it. It has to be in accordance with the case. They have to bring charges against Madman, have a writ put out to get my shit. You can't just do a blanket, you hand us all your data. It has to be this person, these files, and you can put any writ for that.
But so apparently, the last part I have from the story here, of course, the Register story is much longer, and Gizmodo's article is really long about that, but I don't much care for Gizmodo. So last month, New York prosecutors successfully persuaded a judge that the ancient law could be used to force an unnamed smartphone manufacturer, Apple, excuse me, to help unlock a phone allegedly used in a credit card fraud case. The judge ordered the manufacturer to offer reasonable technical assistance to make the phone's contents available. The problem is the people who are defining what's reasonable don't understand what this shit is, let alone how encryption works. So you're going to get the same kind of shit I get at work where, yeah, we deleted a file off the server. Can you just go undelete that for us?
Oh, yeah, sure.
Yeah. Well, sometimes, maybe. If these, you know, certain conditions are met, and that's when they think it's magic, and you've got the guys in the back of the server room chanting, as opposed to, you know, was it on the file system long enough for our snapshotting to pick it up? Cool. If not, you're out of luck. And, you know, if you're out of luck, I'm sorry. No amount of you going to managers and having them coming and asking me again to look for a file that's not there is going to work. But that's my point, is the courts don't necessarily understand what is considered reasonable in the technology space because they think it's voodoo. So it's like, oh, yeah, you can just do that, right? It's like, yeah, sure, we'll just change the weather. Why not?
And if they did their encryption right, what's reasonable is we can't do it.
Well, that's the point Apple's making with iOS and Google with the newest Android, is that they don't have any way of, there's no back door. There is no way to break the encryption. You need the user's passkey.
Start brute forcing it, bitch.
Basically. But with the All Writs Act, the judge can go, oh, no, I'm sorry, Apple, you have to brute force it.
Hey, maybe I'm coming at this from the wrong standpoint, but how about not keeping illegal shit on a device you carry around with you?
You see, that's called proper operational security, and is a different conversation.
You know,
you're not wrong. You are not wrong at all.
How about not taking photos of your crimes? You know, just say I'm going out on a limb. You know, I'm really going out on a limb on this one.
But you know, post it on Facebook. All my friends will think I'm a badass.
Well, you know, that's honestly the truth of it, though. It's like they're talking about credit card fraud. You know what that really means? Email. The guy was reading his email on the phone, right? So, because they're so fixated on the phone and the encryption on the phone, it's like, well, why don't you just go subpoena his email provider and get access to the box that way? Not that I think that's a great thing either, but that's at least more legal than the All Writs Act for somebody to go break encryption.
I'm going to go out on another massive limb here. How about not leaving a fucking paper trail?
Oh, there you are with your operational security again, are you?
You know what I mean? This is all I'm saying, kids. It's not that hard. Back in the day, you had to use hard paper. Now it's digital and shit. You used to burn the paper after you got the note saying, I'd like 1 pound of meth, 1 kilo of coke. Then you'd burn that. Or you keep the magic ledger that you write everything down in for blackmailing out of your house in a secure place. And you know, not on your fucking persons.
It's funny you mention that. You just reminded me of something. This is going to be a terrible reference, especially coming from me. But has anybody else seen Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., any of that show?
I've seen a couple of the episodes, yes.
Okay. I don't even know what it is.
It's a TV show based off the Marvel movies.
Okay.
Well, they're going to go hack a computer at, you know, some Hydra base, right? And they get in there and they can't find the damn computer, and that's because that base doesn't keep one. They kept everything on hard copy to avoid that problem. Yeah. And I'm just like, that's kind of cool. So.
Just saying.
They did a large file transfer by pushing the file cabinet out of the window.
Just saying, you know, I'm going out on a limb here. Age a little bit. And another one, too. If you're going to make a drug transaction, how about using not your own mobile phone, but a public phone? How's that?
Careful out there on that limb, Grandpa. You might fall down.
I know.
These cases, like when you're going with the individuals, the we have so-and-so's cell phone who we believe is doing identity theft or whatever, taking snapshots at work of screens they shouldn't have on their cell phone. That's not the big reason the FBI is getting pissed about encryption. They're still doing Prism. They're still spying on everyone, and now it's getting harder for them to read the massive amount of data that they're collecting.
You see, that and there's Madman getting to where I wanted to go with this conversation. Why are they losing their mind over consumer access to encryption? And I think that's part of it. I think another part of it is that they no longer feel like they have an edge over everybody else. And if we're all using the same tech, I mean, it's not like the government has super secret special computers. They're using the same off-the-shelf gear as everybody else.
That is the big thing, is with each individual criminal case, there's 1,000 ways to get a copy of whatever, if it exists.
Sure.
You can subpoena email, you can whatever. There's a few copies of everything, not just on my cell phone. But when it comes to, we need to know what Madman's doing on Tuesday nights.
The cell phone is your best bet.
Yeah. We're tracking what little text he's sending. And I'm sad that I'm saying our government's doing this, but our government has admitted to doing this. It's not even me being crazy paranoid. They're doing it. And they're spying on everyone, not just people that they have reason to believe are committing a criminal act. That's them doing their job. If someone phones them up and says, "Hi, these four people are selling drugs out of their apartment. You should check it out for a while." They then see somebody, I don't know, selling weed and then get a subpoena to start tapping their phones. That's them doing their job. What's pissing them off is they can't just blindly go through every cell phone record on the planet and see what pops up. What key terms am I typing into Google? That's what's pissing them off about this encryption.
Well, the funny part is they're not supposed to be doing these fishing expeditions. I mean, that used to be a defense in court of, you know, you guys are trying to set up a fishing expedition. Sorry. I guess that doesn't count anymore.
Now they're flying planes around with boxes on them pretending to be cell phone towers.
Yeah.
And no one's fighting them in court that I know of.
Why would you want to? Because then you become a target.
If they fly low enough, I know of another way to fly.
I've got a fucking shotgun. I don't care if it's a Cessna.
It
There's a person in there. That guy's going to die.
And you'll wonder why they're wondering where you are on a Tuesday night, Madman.
Well, I was scalping some bitches.
Look at that. He's at the guns. Go ahead, BS.
Care for their Madman. If you start shooting those ones down, you'll have one of the armed ones fly by.
Oh. There are still some states that have bounties on those.
Tuesday night. Yeah, look, there he is at the gun store again. Gee, I wonder why.
If I ever do anything illegal, my cell phone's staying at home. It's not like I answer the damn thing anyway.
And again, with the proper operational security. You know, we missed a very important step in the intro of the show. I'm drinking Eagle Rare. I've actually had about 3 shots already, and I've probably got another shot and a half left in the glass. BSV, what are you drinking?
I'm drinking some Angry Orchard again. An alcoholic apple a day keeps the doctor away, right?
Something like that.
We'll keep everyone away if you chuck it hard enough.
All right, Big, what are you drinking?
Well, I was going to stop for a while, but fuck it. I got Jeremiah Weed.
Keeping it classy. All right, Madman, what do you got?
Woodford Reserve Single Barrel on the Rocks.
Very nice. Very nice. Are you?
Are you? What do you drink?
Unlike Madman, I'm not a classy individual. I've just got some domestic Forex bitter, but I'm chasing that down with some legal opium products.
Ha ha! Nice.
Because when weed's illegal, opium is legal. I love it.
Weed will kill you.
Yeah, but you're prescribed opium.
Yeah, I know. It's great. And guess what? Just because it says just take one doesn't mean you just have to take one.
And you ignore the don't take with alcohol. Of course.
Yeah, that makes it more fun.
I want to go breaking the law now by smoking dope.
Oh, I should point out, if you're, you know, thinking about performing substance abuse, film it and post it on YouTube so we can laugh
at it. Yeah, make sure you carry it around on your cell phone as well. Document it very, very well. Preferably with a selfie in the mirror of you holding up whatever illegal product you are using.
And post it on your Facebook. That way we can see it. And know just how badass you are.
We'll tell you that you're a badass. Because really, so, after all, isn't that what you're looking for? Approval. Approval from others around you because mummy didn't love you enough. She kept you on the tit too long. And your daddy hated and touched you at night.
Wow, wait a minute, what?
Yeah. You can read all that in my new tell-all book.
I was going to say, there's the knock at the door you really want. You know, it's like, you know, excuse me, sir, we have two things to tell you. One, congratulations, you're a badass. Two, you're under arrest.
And they can do that legally. Facebook is public.
There's photos going around of some kid that posted up, I think it was on Instagram or some shit, pictures of him with his fucking weed plants. And then there's a following photo after that of the cops having him in arrest doing selfies with the kid and his weed plants.
Nice. were they posting it on his Facebook board?
They posted it on his Instagram book wall or whatever it is.
That's funny.
So the police were taking selfies with
his
phone?
They probably had his phone.
Yeah, they had his phone.
If you watch any of those swatting videos, you'll see the first thing they do is grab their phone, ask them what their password is, and just start going through their phone. So, which I always thought that's weird how they just do that. And I don't know.
Because if you volunteer the password, they can look through it. You just tell them, I'm not giving you my password. You'd have no reason to look in my phone.
Yeah.
Yep.
Don't be all smartass about it. Otherwise, you're going to get shot. Remember what Uncle Ari says, don't be a fuckwit, comply.
We still need to make those shirts.
I'm a white guy, I'm fine.
Oh!
You'd be surprised.
So long as I don't have my hands in my pockets and comply by pulling them out when they tell me to, I'm fine. They
make sure you do it very slowly with a smile on your face.
Sir, take your hands out of your pockets. Hold on, I'm almost done.
Okay, sir, you can leave the dildo in your pocket. We know that that's what that is. We don't really want to... Oh! Yeah. So, I don't know. Any other thoughts on this before we go on? Because I know Ari's going to rage out on the first story I've got. Actually, I'm probably going to rage out on a little bit of it, too, because it's just pathetic.
I want to challenge this in court. I just... have to be pinned by the feds to do it, and that's what saddens me about this. I can't point out the stupidity of the federal government in a court unless I can show that they're harming me directly.
Well, if the social justice warriors get their way, you can say they're causing you anxiety disorders.
That's what
I'm
drinking.
I wonder if I can get a check for that. Oh, then I'd feel guilty and shoot myself for my own stupidity.
What were you saying, are you?
I can't remember. Opium's fondable.
All right, fair enough. So, first story up. It's from Ars Technica. A major brick-and-mortar retailer, Target Australia, will stop selling Grand Theft Auto V in 300 or so stores after an online petition condemning the game's depiction of violence against sex workers drew more than 40,000 signatures. The chain is not directly related to the U.S. retailer of the same name. Although, interestingly enough, as you pointed out, apparently a bunch of those signatures came from bots and foreign sources. When I was telling them about the story earlier. So,
yep.
It's an internet. It's an internet petition. I can get 100,000 people to get them to sell dildos if I throw up a petition.
I'm just saying, and I'm not actually saying that this is really happening, but every one of those individual signatures is being checked out.
Oh, neat.
There is not a group going around pretty much looking up each individual person and doxing them and making files. It's not happening, never would happen, and if it was to happen, shame on them.
No, nobody would do that. In a statement posted online, Target Australia General Manager of Corporate Affairs Jim Cooper, who is being doxed in 3, 2, cited feedback from customers about the game's depictions of violence against women and excessive community and customer concern about the game in making the decision. I'm surprised they didn't make a censored version of that game for Australia.
Shut up.
I'm just saying that's been their practice.
I would like to point out that the Bible also has a lot of violence against women and sexist attitudes. Should we ban it in Australia?
Yes.
We should ban it worldwide.
Are you? I'm against all bans. That's not the point. I just want to point this out. Their hypocrisy.
I know. I just look at it this way. 40,000 people out of 25 million. Does that sound like democracy to you?
No.
Exactly.
But I don't think any idea should be banned. That game isn't harming anyone. If you don't agree with it, you don't buy it. You don't play it. You don't give them money. You don't deny my ability to do it.
This is people who can't stand that you enjoy something they disagree with at a political level. So they're not rational people.
Nope.
Go ahead, Ari.
I was just going to say, and the day will come.
We've been speaking to many customers over recent days about the game, and there's a significant level of concern about the game's content, Cooper said in a statement. We've also had customer feedback in support of us selling the game, and we respect the perspective on the issue. However, we feel the decision to stop selling GTA 5 is in line with the majority view of our customers. Cooper's new statement represents a turnaround from his position in an article published by news.com.au just yesterday. We've got to listen to our customers, and there are many defending the right to buy the game, as there are those who want it removed, he told the site, but simply asking Target to not sell the game won't make a difference to its availability. We respect the sincerity of people who do not want it sold, and their opinion is valid. No, it's not. But the people... Okay, I'm going to stop you right there, buddy. The people who do not want it sold, and their opinion is valid. You just agreed with censorship. I mean, do you like the concept of censorship? You must. I don't. I think it's stupid. I think if you don't like something, you can censor it for yourself, but not for other people.
Man, last time I checked, if something's on sale, you don't have to buy it.
Yeah,
could be
again,
mistaken.
But we are a retailer for everyone as long as we're selling the game responsibly. I guess that would mean respecting the age restrictions. Kmart Australia, no relation to the American chain of the same name, has also decided to remove GTA 5 from its shelves following a significant review of all content in Grand Theft Auto games, according to a statement. Kmart apologizes for not being closer to the content of the game.
Hold up. They're sorry that they don't beat hookers to death and take the money back after they fought
them to get
extra
hearts. I'm just imagining
hearts.
If their content was closer. Kmart apologizes for not being closer to the content of this game. I guess they want you beating up hookers in Kmart.
I think they want you to grab one of the guns from Sporting Goods and start shooting cops.
We don't sell
paramedics
here, remember?
Show up and give them CPR.
Yeah. Australian Target and Kmart stores are both owned by the same corporate parent, West Farmers Limited. Take-Two CEO Strauss Zelik has also issued a statement in response to the Target Australia decision. We are disappointed that an Australian retailer has chosen to no longer sell Grand Theft Auto V, a title that has won extraordinary critical acclaim for and has been enjoyed by tens of millions of consumers around the world. Grand Theft Auto V explores mature themes and content similar to those found in many other popular and groundbreaking entertainment properties. Interactive entertainment is today's most compelling art form and shares blah, 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 blah. Shut the hell up. So, pretty much, Australia, you know what this is? This is offended people deciding what is appropriate for everybody else. You know, this is censorship by the most offensive.
The most offended.
Offended.
Yeah. that. But it's sad.
In no way reflects democracy whatsoever.
It's just fucking sad is what it is.
It doesn't reflect reason whatsoever.
Yep.
Anything can be offensive. If I'm offended by strawberry ice cream, does that mean no one can eat strawberry ice cream?
In these people's worldview, yes. Are they going to go through all R-rated movies and get rid of any that depict violence against women?
That's their next agenda.
They'd like to.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to get to the point where, you know, but I mean, okay, so they succeed in that. What's next? You can never appease these people.
Go ahead. It's just you can't have any free flow of ideas or artwork.
Well, okay, let me put this in terms that more people will understand where I'm coming from with this. Does everybody remember a few years ago, Jack Thompson?
Yeah.
Saying he should be able, that he personally had to approve the content of the game before Rockstar could sell it. And he actually sued them and got a big, he won. That's what this is. He fucking won. In Australia, at least. That's what
it is.
Jack Thompson
won.
Yeah. Doesn't matter. He fucking won. What he wants to happen is now happening. And you know, since they've had some success in Australia, they're going to start trying to get it banned in other places.
Yep.
I don't like censorship. If you don't like something, don't participate. It's a rather simple concept.
It's democracy. I don't have to do it. It's free markets.
So.
Dude, my rage knew no bounds that day.
Oh, I know. I talked to you a little bit. You were ticked.
Yeah. I mean, it's just the idiocy of these people that were all over the television news market that morning, saying that it was a win for culture and a win for society. And to expect more of this as they realign society into the expectations of what it should be. And I'm like, what?
Wait a minute.
Yeah.
Realign society in whose vision of what society? Who's making
Tumblr?
Who gets to make this fucking decision?
Well, dude, we had a politician on the same time get up and start speaking about gender and equality within toys for children. And that if a little, you know, boys should be made to dress up in princess outfits and stuff like that as not to stereotype people. This is coming out of politicians' mouths.
What?
This shit is spreading, man. And it's spreading to the point, like, anybody with an alternative idea or a concept against it is being held down as a misogynist, you know, a fucking verbal rapist, whatever. You can't speak out against it. Because it's an assault on women and children.
How did political correctness get this fucking stupid?
Political correctness has always been this fucking stupid. It's just now more people are paying attention to it.
Okay, let me phrase that better. How are this many people falling for this bullshit?
I think it's been a steady indoctrination since the early 90s, man. And don't get me wrong, the workplace bullying and all that shit, even that's going too far to where even if you say something in a tone of voice, you can be reprimanded for it. That's inappropriate tone. Go fuck yourself. You know, if John's having a particularly bad week at work and fucking Craig gets up in his face about something, John tells him to go fuck himself, it's not a workplace issue. Somebody's just got a little bit too much stress in their life. You know, we need to be able to handle this shit in a more common sense manner than throwing court cases and threatening to have people fired. You know?
How incredibly fucking weak do they think the psyche of the average person is? That, oh my god, they can't play Grand Theft Auto 5. They might, you know, they see somebody getting hurting a hooker, and that's a, I mean, is their worldview so fucking weak that they have to actually bring in the force of government and censor this shit and force kids to cross dress just to, I don't even know what that accomplishes, just to confuse them? I don't know.
It scars them. That's what they're accomplishing. They're scarring people.
I literally don't know where to take this because
it's the same thing now. Like any kids' sport under the age of 18 here in Australia, they don't keep score anymore. Everybody gets a best and fairest award at the end of the year, and everyone's an MVP. This is what breeds this notion of my feelings. It's because you've never been kicked in the dick. By the time you're 16, you haven't figured out that the world's a bag of dicks, and you're going to have to get your ass in a gear, otherwise you're not going to get anywhere. This is it. We don't fail anymore.
It's just sad because it's going to breed a whole group of people who don't understand that. You see this in YouTube videos and shit. People say, well, this is my opinion. Well, who the fuck are you? Who cares about your opinion?
Exactly.
We're some douchebag with a camera. Not that, who are we? We're some douchebags with a microphone, but still.
Yeah, but we don't expect people to listen to us.
That's true. Yeah.
Do you see my donation tab, my 600 fucking extra websites, my fucking live stream every fucking week for about 4.5 fucking hours over some non-topic each week?
Like, well, I can't say anything. I do own a bunch of URLs.
at least it's like, at least with this show and that, it's trying to be informed about security and stuff like that. Occasionally, yes, we go on these social rants about Grand Theft Auto and shit like that, but it's not every fucking week talking about, oh, Gamergate for fucking 6 months and still not do jack shit about it. Blowhard motherfuckers.
Yes, he did.
I'm not going to call him pussy or anything like that. He did something. He didn't like how it went. He quit. But at least he had a fucking go. All these other cunts sitting around going, oh, yeah, fuck that. But, yeah, letter writing and shit won't do crap. I'm not even going to fucking try. Well, fuck you, you fucking pussy. Then you have no reason to fucking talk about it. If you weren't sending hate mail to fucking Gawker's advertisers, then you didn't even fucking try to fight back. Yeah, we had our asses kicked, but at least we fucking tried. And then it's all shit and done in 10 years' time, and it's all over for fucking games. At least I can hold my head up high and say I had to fucking try to fight back against Nita Sarkeesian and those other cunts. You know? It's all you faggots that sit around just blow hard about it and don't actually fucking put any work in. They need to fuck off and get a life.
I don't think there's anything else to add to that.
Sorry.
I get a little bit upset
about this shit, man, because I'm fucking... I mean, playing these games, like, since... they were conceived, man. I was born in the era when they first came out in home television sets. You know, and this is before Atari, man. This is like Hanamax, like way back. And
this shit, you had to slick the sticker on the screen to give you, because it was just squares moving around.
Yeah, I'm talking, this is like, I've been playing games addictively for that long. I have not skipped a fucking day in my life so far of playing games that I know of, you know.
Well, I tell you, I say this. I was going to say, you know, at least if worse comes to worse, we'll still have, you know, our old games we can still play. But, you know, you think about it, a lot of the modern games rely on a server somewhere. So
This
whole idea of, oh, I'll just pull out my old game and play it, at least it's not fucking censored. Oh, nope, can't play Payday 2 anymore. That server's gone.
Yeah.
And it's not just
saying?
Games. Books, movies. If they can censor something, they can censor anything.
Yeah.
Well, look what they did to Tom Sawyer. You know?
African American, or no, yeah. African American Joe, that's what it was.
Yeah. Fuck me, man. Like,
shit.
They changed it?
Yeah.
Yep.
Because calling him Black Joe is racist.
Did
they look at when it was written?
No, because that would require educating children to understand historical perspective, and that's too fucking hard. So instead of historical accuracy, we're going to go with modern social justice. Like the dumbass on Kotaku. I still go back to this because it drives me nuts. The dumbass on Kotaku who wanted them to add women soldiers to World War II games because it was more important to have social justice than it was to be historically accurate.
Yeah.
And it's like, that's it. I'm done. You literally think it's more important to promote an agenda than to follow the truth. And at least with that, you know, it was okay. Some truths you can argue about because the data's not all in on shit, right? But when you have hard fact, like historical fact, we know what it was, and you want to disregard that to meet your political agenda, fuck off.
And especially something like that where you could have actually incorporated that into the game accurately, there were chicks in the Russian army.
Yep.
So you're not going to be in the Allied army as a chick, unless you're a nurse, which it's not a playable thing.
Well, they could add that to the game.
You can shoot Russian chicks.
Oh, dude, you're just opening a hole, and you can, man. Like, this is what I enjoy about Payday 2. At least there are female guards in there now. Guess
Equality.
Who gets their head blown off first?
Not because she's closer to the hole.
Dude, yes, it's not because it's a woman. It's only because, fuck it, you know, you're pushing me this far. I never gave a fuck about sexism and shit like that before because I didn't see it. I've had female bosses. I've worked with female supervisors. I've never had a problem with it. Now I'm starting to have a fucking problem with it because you're making it a problem. Like, these people are all normal before, and now they're fucking insane. Because they think they have a right.
That's the truth. I mean, Madman, you and I grew up around the same time. I didn't think racism was a problem in this country, but obviously it is.
It's because you're privileged.
It's been resurrected, is what it is. It wasn't a problem before, and they've beaten it over. You know, it literally was not a thing. And now it's absolutely everywhere.
It's a market.
Yes,
we're making money off of it. So now it must exist so we can make money off of it.
So it's a real problem now. I honestly don't think it was anywhere near the problem a decade ago.
I'll have to say it depends on where you are. I don't think racism has been an issue where we've lived.
Mm. You know, that's a very good point.
And I don't care what you say. There's always going to be some sort of passive racism, some sort of passive sexism, because we're competitive as a species. You know,
there's a difference between an individual being somewhat racist and then having institutionalized racism.
Yeah.
I have met black people that are racist against white people. I have met white people racist against black people. But institutionally, I have not been in or have witnessed a racist institution.
My favorite are the black people who are racist against black people, but that's...
I've actually met those
too. I'm a racist, but I find that hilarious.
It's a joke. Calm the fuck down.
Hell, even the KKK is becoming more socially aware.
Oh my freaking crap. They can now only hate Muslims and Asian people. They're trying African-American outreach in the KKK. At that point, you just hang up your fucking white robe and hat.
And, okay, see, this is how you know it's end of days shit, man. You know what I mean? It's like the Reverend Phelps is going to start allowing gay soldiers into that church. I can see it now. Like, because his numbers are dwindling. Well, we've got to open it up. We're only going to hate on lesbians now, you know? Well, some shit, I don't know.
I don't want to be like sound like I'm positive on the KKK, but if you have an ideology, you either admit that it's wrong and disband, or you stick with it.
This is
you
what
don't
I mean.
Do that half-ass shit.
You've got the Catholic Church coming out going, yeah, the Big Bang Theory happened.
What'd they say to Walter White? No more half measures? I mean, come on, people.
Yeah. You know it's end times, apocalyptic fucking nightmare shit when you got the KKK moving goalposts, the church moving the goalposts, everybody's caving to this fucking whim of we the people demand that you do this, and it's not even one-third of the people demanding this. Try pulling shit in Saudi Arabia.
Stop it.
You know?
See, the problem these people have, they have freedom. They understand, well, they don't really understand freedom because they're trying to oppress the other people, but they've got
exactly
freedom. What they want to do is feel comfortable. They don't want freedom. They want to feel fucking comfortable.
There you go. Big nail.
That's it.
That's all that needs to be said.
So, next story?
Yes.
Okay. Money.cnn.com. Sony Pictures is dealing more than just downed computers and frozen email. Movies have been leaked, and internal documents have exposed private company memos along with employees' salaries, social security numbers, and health information. One security researcher, Adrian Sabrina, calls it a Sony-pocalypse. Really?
Wow.
Be a security researcher to come up with the Sony-pocalypse? Not even a good apocalypse, you know, joinment there. So it's so devastating that the FBI is now warning other companies about the malicious software that infected Sony's computers. And the hack could, of course, be software to Sony. Leaked movies. Every stolen copy of a movie is potentially a movie ticket lost. No, it's not. No, that's bad logic. Fury, the World War II drama starring Brad Pitt, has been downloaded illegally 2.3 million times, according to
Trek
and Firm.
Don't plan to.
Yeah, I mean, hack also threatens to suck the life out of Sony's remake of the musical Annie, starring Jamie Foxx. Embarrassing memos, unequal salaries, personal information of 3,800 employees. Hackers took more than 100 terabytes of data. Okay. On modern internet connections, if you've been hacked long enough for 100 terabytes of data to get
it's
out
not,
your door and you don't notice it?
It's not 100 terabytes. It's 50 gig. I know because I'm looking at the data right now with
the
contact details. Yeah, the contact details. It's 10 million addresses and everything like that. It's still up for sale. They haven't sold it yet.
Well, okay, the reason I bring this up, because when Sony had all these hacks a few years ago with the PlayStation Network, as opposed to hardening their network, they went into all the end-user licensing agreements and put that you cannot sue Sony for data breaches.
So instead of fixing the problem, they're saying we're not liable for it.
Right. And here it is again.
That's not how you deal with stuff.
I feel really bad for the IT crew at Sony because they must be getting the shit kicked out of them now.
It was probably management's fault.
Of course, it's always management's fault. Management's the one who makes the call. I can tell you this from the number of different IT shops I've worked in now, and Big, you can back me up on this because you work for an IT company. What does management do? Get it done now, get it out the door, I don't care what you have to do.
Pretty much.
They don't. Yeah, it's you know, go nuts, get it done. And security is, if they even think of it at all.
They don't. They fucking don't.
Of course not.
Layer of bullshit in their eyes. They're like, oh, that just takes more fucking time. We don't need to fucking encrypt our passwords. Plain text. Fuck you.
I finally got permission to start doing some, get some web application testing put into our QA process. So that'll be fun to implement. Because I can just hear all the coders. Now, you did what? No. We're not fixing that.
I hope Annie dies.
Did you have to explain it at this speed to management so they would understand it?
No, but I'm worried I might have to explain what SQL injection cross-site request forgery is at that speed. Okay, I'm not even joking. In a job, I had a web developer who I was talking with, who did not understand SQL injection, did not understand what the concept was. I explained it, and he looked at me. And you know what he finally said after thinking about it for a few minutes? Why would anybody ever do that?
Oh, fuck off.
He could not wrap his head around the idea that somebody was trying to hack into your web application by putting SQL code in an input box. Well, no, you're supposed to put your name in there. You're not supposed to put code in there. That's my point. You need to make it so they can't. Well, they're not supposed to do that. Yeah, make it so they can't. Well, that's hard.
My crap. I don't...
This is why I dropped out of the world, man. This is why I just hit the I quit button at 21.
Okay, you know the joke I made at the opening of the show of drinking so the voices in my head are nicer to me? It wasn't really a joke.
They tend to get meaner.
I hate it when mine start beating me up towards the end of the night because it's a bad drunk. A very bad drunk.
I just start getting mean back to them. That doesn't end well.
What's slightly annoying about this article, the way I'm reading it, they're not as much pissed that Sony didn't secure their networks of their employees. I don't know. Social Securities aren't being sold. They're mad because they don't have more high-paid black women.
Yeah.
They had to point out there's only one black millionaire in the company and one woman millionaire in the company.
Once again, why does that matter?
It doesn't. Once you're getting that high, it's very few people are worth that kind of money. If you look at the education requirements for a mostly software company or big business company, how long have women been going for those degrees at this point?
Very little?
Yeah.
Oh, this is why they're forcing him to cross-dress as kids. That's the logic anyway.
It's so the dude will identify as a chick and they can count him in that number.
Yes, madman!
I see what you're doing. The concept of gender over sex. Oh, I hate that psychologist that came up with that.
Math is hard. If we convince the guys to be girls, then math will be easy.
Let's...
And Sony's still not going to fix it, and they're still going to claim lost profits on movies that I'm never going to see.
No, just go on, Mops. I'm just trying not to suffer from a brain hemorrhage.
No, go ahead and have your brain hemorrhage. It'd be fun to listen to.
No, I'm just actually trying to prevent my brain from imploding. I didn't have anything to say. I'm just trying to suppress the pain.
That's what the booze is for. Why do you think we open with what we're drinking?
But the alcohol is not helping is the problem. The pain is growing.
Alcohol is like brute force attacks. If it's not working, you're not using enough.
I like to DDoS my own brain with scotch.
But my liver can only take so much.
Hack the planet.
Hack nothing. Booze the planet. Okay. I think the Germans had it right with Oktoberfests.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Alcoholism aside, next story up. This one's from Ars Technica, and I found this site, this thing. When I go in to put together the show notes, I see Psychros also sent me this link. So we'll say Psychros sent me this link. On Tuesday, district court judge in Minnesota ruled that a group of banks can proceed to sue Target for negligence in the December 2013 breach that resulted in the theft of 40 million consumer credit card numbers as well as the personal information of 70 million customers. It's nearly a year later. Actually, it is a year later from the data that was stolen. And they finally got the final numbers out. 40 million credit cards, 70 million customers. Holy fuck. And the court has said the banks can sue Target for this.
That could actually get retailers to fix their shit.
Yes, it could.
They'll settle out with a not our responsibility fucking clause.
Probably.
This won't even see a courtroom.
It's not the court that would decide it. If the settlement or just the financial loss, the retailers are big enough, they might actually look into securing their shit. The court won't have to tell them to. If they see long-term, we'll save money by doing business practice correctly, they'll change their business practices.
I'll tell you how this conversation will happen. All right, so we've been popped once over the lifetime of our entire operating thing. We've got to employ X amount of people, which is going to cost this much. For the rest of our lifetime or we could pay X amount right now, be done with it, and have not our responsibility clause thrown in there. Yeah, we're just going to go ahead and pay the money that way because it's going to be cheaper in a long term than actually employing X amount of people for, you know, the next 40 years.
But they also look at this sets a precedent of I can be sued when my data's popped. What's the likelihood of my data being popped again? How much money am I losing now with this settlement?
So
will the next settlement
go,
be equal
Mr.
to
President,
or less than this one? The settlements have always been growing.
My recommendation from now on is that we get everyone in the company to sign a clause that they cannot disclose a single fucking thing. If we get popped, We do not notify fucking anyone. You shut the fuck up. Anyone talks about this, they're instantly fired. We're going to hire a PR team, and it's denial, denial, denial. It didn't happen. It didn't happen. It didn't happen.
Well, there's actually there's other legal ramifications for that. There are disclosure laws that if you have a data breach, you are legally compelled to notify. So if you take the tactic of covering up, well, okay, first of all, if it works and you don't have somebody coming back and telling you, oh, yeah, we had a breach from your data, here's how we know it was your data, you know, the FBI does that. That's what the Home Depot did. They waited for the FBI to tell them there'd been a data breach as opposed to monitoring their network. The breach occurred between mid-November and mid-December 2013 after hackers placed malware on target point-of-sale systems that made it possible for them to steal credit card numbers as consumers swiped. The vast number of people affected by the breach made targets hack the most notorious, but subsequent reports revealed the target was only the one of many big-name retail stores that have had credit card data stolen. Neiman Marcus, Michaels, and later Home Depot customers were also revealed to be targets. After the breach, multiple banks and consumers sued Target in Minnesota, where the company is headquartered. The lawsuits from both banks and consumers were grouped together in two consolidated class action lawsuits. Target filed a motion to dismiss the claims made by the financial institutions, but District Court Judge Paul A. Magnuson, who will later be found dead, probably in his hot tub with the cover put on it, ruled that the plaintiff's claims were valid. And anybody who thinks I'm joking about the corporation having the judge who ruled against them killed hasn't been paying attention.
I know exactly what you're talking about.
I wish I was joking.
No, you won't really be killed. Just an accident will happen.
It was suicide.
Yeah, he got in the hot tub and closed the lid on himself. Must have been an accident.
After he shot himself 32 times in the back, officer. It was a
suicide. 32 times with a revolver. He had to reload like 6 times.
No, dude, we're just conspiracy theorists.
You were trying to say something, BSV. Go ahead.
I was just also trying to say he fell 5 stories into that said hot top tub first.
Yeah.
No, he didn't fall. He jumped.
So here's Madman's point. The decision could lead to significant changes in the way the cost of fraud is distributed among parties in the credit card ecosystem, where once banks and merchant acquirers would shoulder the burden of fraud, which is how they have long justified increasing interchange fees. Now, potentially, the order from Magnuson could pave the way for more card-issuing banks to sue merchants for not protecting their point-of-sale systems properly. And if in the plaintiff's case... Okay, you know what? I'm going to stop here because they just start talking numbers. The thing is, you're going to see turnaround lawsuits from this. So what's going to happen is not that Target's going to get their shit together and prevent from getting hacked again, right? Because I followed the Target breach, and it was, you know, a third-party vendor account that was compromised that they got in with. So what's going to happen is Target's now going to turn around and sue their third-party vendor and their point-of-sale systems for not providing them secured systems. So it's just going to be a chain of lawsuits to the point where operating any kind of IT infrastructure that you don't develop in-house is going to be insane, because the moment something happens with it, you're just going to get sued into oblivion.
But Target wasn't watching their vendors. It is somewhat their responsibility who they give access to their network.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. I was speaking as somebody who understands how corporate lawyers work, not corporate IT.
Okay, because I was just thinking, if your vendor says, I want my password to be ABC123 backwards.
And I've had a vendor tell me that, and when I handed them what their actual password was, you would not believe the bitching.
Do they cry a little bit of weeping?
I have a password manager that I use inside our company, and it has a very nice random password generator. You give it the minimum length, you give it, you know, what character set you want in it, and it will make a fucking weird password for you. I actually don't think that's the best way to go. Like, you know, where special characters and numbers and all that other shit. You know, you go to the website and it's like, yeah, your password must have, you know, a special character, something in acrylic and a capital letter and 4 symbols and a number. And yeah, no. The solution to this, by the way, because all that shit's trying to do is trying to add bit depth to your password, make it harder to guess. Well, anything under 8 characters is in the fucking rainbow tables if they don't have any salt on whatever application you're using. And by the way, most applications don't. Like if you're on a Windows Active Directory domain, there are probably Landman hashes of the damn thing floating around. So anything under 8 characters is in the rainbow tables and can be cracked within minutes. So instead, and I'm trying to push this at my current job, and there's a lot of pushback for obvious reasons, I think your minimum password character, your password length ought to just be like, I don't know, 20, 25 characters, 30 characters.
Passphrases are easy to remember. Choose a psalm lyric.
Yeah, exactly. Or a Bible verse. I know my mom does that. You just take a phrase, a passphrase, and, you know, instead of spaces between the words, pick something else, whether it's a letter, a number, a symbol, whatever, just as long as you can remember it. And it works. It's easy. People remember it. And it's, you know, nice and long so that it's not in the fucking rainbow tables, because rainbow tables get exponentially large once you start getting past the short stuff. So, but I digress quite a bit, actually, in this case.
But I still see Target as being liable simply because they weren't monitoring their vendors well. It is your job to keep that in and to keep tabs on that.
I agree with you, but I still see Target turning around and suing the vendor that you know, was popped.
And I do still see some vendor liability, but I don't think it should negate Target's responsibility. Just because the vendor was a moron doesn't mean you're not stupid for knowingly letting them be a moron. It's just you're both equally fucking stupid.
I agree with you. I just understand how this shit goes, because it's just like you said, deny, deny, deny. It wasn't us, it wasn't us, it wasn't us.
Well, you deny, deny, deny until the court hits you, but that's what you're trying to avoid. Target's already been hit. They may try to recoup some of their losses from suing their vendor, but they've still been opened up, and the court has already said, you're liable. So they're still going to have to get their shit in order to prevent further any future suits. So I'm hoping they get their shit in order.
That'd be nice, wouldn't it?
Mm-hmm.
I can be hopeful.
This there is you go necking. With that optimism again, madman.
I can be wrong, but fuck it, I can be hopeful. They're not mutually exclusive. I might be wrong and correct.
It's a free country. You are entitled to your opinion, no matter how wrong it is. No.
I meant optimistic and correct. You can't be wrong and correct. That's impossible. But I can be optimistic and correct, or I can be optimistic and wrong, and I'm still going to work on being fucking optimistic. The world can turn around from this steaming shithole it's becoming slowly.
All right,
there's
next story
no
up.
Breaks.
Yeah, we had a break. It broke. They stole it. Betanews.com. The number of people watching television is continuing to plummet as many migrate towards online streaming. No duh. Do I really need to read the rest of this? The rest of the article is literally Nielsen talking numbers, talking about, people are getting their television through the internet now as opposed to over traditional cable TV.
Because I can watch it whenever I want.
It's kind
and
of
there's
a no-duh.
Ads.
A lot of times, yeah. It's kind of a no-duh, but it kind of fits with everything else, too, with all the power grabs going on the internet, because that's what it is. Sony is saying we're not liable for our data breaches, which is going to be the norm going forward, I guarantee it, because no company is going to want to be responsible for that, so they're just going to put it right there in the EULA. Yeah, no, if we're breached, it's not our responsibility. Deny, deny, deny.
I want them to be sued and see if that holds up in a court. That whole "it's not our fault" defense.
Well,
not my fault. I shot the kid.
The problem is it has that binding arbitration line in it in the EULA, from what I was reading too. So even if it doesn't hold up in court, getting it to court might be interesting because it's got the whole binding arbitration clause in there. So.
That's not exceptionally hard to get around.
Good. But the reason I posted the story is because it might explain why ISPs are getting a little bit, cable companies are getting a little bit more desperate with the whole, filtering and controlling the internet kind of shit that they're trying to pull right now. I mean, I don't support net neutrality for reasons I've gone over before, at least as it's currently presented. I guess I should explain that a little bit. I don't like the idea of the government regulating the internet, and that's what net neutrality is. Everybody talks about how great net neutrality is, but really what it is it's giving the FCC the authority to regulate the internet. And I'm very much against any regulation at all on the internet. The problem is not ISPs being dicks. The problem is a lack of choice. So if we had more ISPs, we wouldn't have this problem of needing net neutrality. So it's an over-regulation problem, not an under-regulation problem. I think I've probably explained that on the show like 7 or 8 times now. So
yeah, the whole mandatory monopoly. I can't start Madman's Awesome Cable Company.
Yeah,
it also delivers beer in addition to your internet. That's what makes it so awesome.
I've got a story about AT&T getting in the way of that after this.
Oh,
one.
The company that's the town that's trying to start their own.
Mm-hmm.
I love
that.
Yeah,
I've got that.
I actually read it.
I'd go right to that one, but I don't want to skip this Ars Technica story from of BMG suing Cox for piracy.
What?
BMG Music and Roland Hill Music are suing Cox Communications, arguing that the ISP does not do enough to punish those who download music illegally.
You don't go after the apartment owner because one of the women in the apartment is a whore. You prosecute the fucking whore.
Or you ask the whore out for a few drinks.
I mean, I'm personally pro-prostitution. I'm not trying to down that. But the law says you can't be a whore. The law doesn't say you can't rent an apartment to someone. The law says you can't download music illegally. Is the ISP downloading it? No. They sold me a fucking internet connection. I'm a whore. You prosecute the fucking whore. You leave the apartment manager alone. You leave the ISP alone.
I love how Madman goes straight to the prostitution ring, not, you know, not a drug dealer, or maybe somebody doing counterfeit money production. Or
I want to see Madman on Fox and Friends. You know, just going straight for that one.
You just see the producer making the, you know, cut.
Well,
so
is my analogy wrong here?
No,
the cable
company's
not breaking
right.
The law.
It's what example you picked, that's all.
Oh, no, I mean, I went for it because it's a humorous and excellent example. They're saying the owner of an apartment complex is legally responsible or financially responsible for what people do in that apartment complex.
Oh, let's make it even more fun than that. This means that UPS is responsible for every product that's shipped through it.
Yeah, if I mail a bomb through UPS, UPS blew up the federal building.
That's cool.
I was thinking in terms of going with examples Madman has already brought up. If you order a sex toy over the internet from China and get horrible lead poisoning, it's UPS's fault for delivering it.
Well, you shouldn't have scrubbed your anus with steel wool before you fucked it with a dildo. You get lead poisoning from a sex toy. Are you sucking on it? It's not
going
to get pleasure.
There's just no half measures with you today, man, is there?
Both BMG and Roundhill are clients of Rights Corps, a copyright enforcement agent whose business is based on threatening ISPs with high-stakes lawsuit if they don't forward settlement notices to users that Rights Corps believes are repeat infringers of copyright. There's little precedent for a lawsuit trying to hold an ISP responsible for users engaged in piracy. If a judge finds Cox liable for the actions of its users on its network, it will have major implications for the company and the whole cable industry. It's one thing to terminate an account on YouTube, but cable subscribers can pay well over $100 a month, and BMG and Roundhill claim they've notified Cox of about 200,000 repeat infringers on its network. In their complaint, the music publishers describe that the Cox network as an out-of-control den of piracy. Today, BitTorrent systems are like the old P2P systems on steroids. Wow, you really have no idea what the fuck you're talking about. BMG lawyers write, despite its published policy to the contrary, Cox's actual policy is to refuse to suspend, terminate, or otherwise penalize subscriber accounts that repeatedly commit copyright infringement through its networks in any meaningful numbers. Cox has ignored overwhelming evidence that the complaint list, and the complaint lists a few examples. A Cox subscriber having the IP address of 70168. Really, they list the fucking IP address in the story.
Wow, at the time, that's irresponsible.
Yeah, no kidding. Believed to be located in Fairfax, Virginia.
Oh, even easier now.
Was used to infringe 24 copyrighted works 1,586 times. They downloaded 24 copyrighted works 1,586 times.
They're probably counting uploads if they're going with BitTorrent.
They've got to be. Since December 9th, 2013, they wrote. Oh, so for a year.
And
that's low, dude.
They don't have a static IP. That do they? I thought most users didn't have a static IP.
Most users don't. Well, what usually ends up happening is your IP is kind of static. Not that it's actually static. It's just how often do you reboot your cable modem?
Every time after watching porn.
Even when I reboot my cable modem, I still get the same IP.
A lot of times you will, because your lease is in blocks of 7 days, and when your lease is up, usually the renewal just gives you back the same one. So it's not that you don't have a static IP, but you kind of do, just because the system ends up to not giving you a different one very often. Usually you'll get a different one if you unplug your cable modem, leave it off for a few minutes, and then plug it back in. But even then, I mean, the system has to know that your system was gone, release the IP, and see if somebody else grabs it. That last part's not always necessary, but it kind of helps the whole, you know, you not getting the same IP back, because DHCP servers tend to hang on to that lease information for a little while.
I was just thinking, if it's not a static IP, how do you know these people are all doing those? Yeah. There's no way of showing that I'm the one that downloaded all 24 of whatever the hell they're saying I downloaded.
It was your cat.
Not my cat. Oh. I just didn't have that fucking IP address at the time.
The password of my Wi-Fi network was 1234. Is that a problem? I don't understand.
You're supposed to put a password on those things? Shit.
Yeah, that was
going to make a password.
Yeah,
they should be suing individual users, not the IP address. They're not the IP provider.
IP addresses are not people. I'm going to point this out right fucking now.
Well, they should be trying to go after the people downloading it and not the people providing my internet connection.
I still contend that an IP address does not correlate to a person. It correlates to a device at a particular time, but that does not correlate to who is behind that device. So, I've never liked the whole idea of, oh, we've got this IP address doing something. But whoop-de-fucking-do. That's sort of like, you know, it's like saying, well, we got this car that was doing something. Here's the license plate number. Well, do you have a picture of who was driving that car? No. Oh, well, I guess you're kind of shit out of luck for knowing who was responsible for it then. Well, with cars, we've got different laws, but that's not the point. So the analogy breaks down there, but only because they've said somebody who owns a license plate number is responsible for the vehicle. So the only way to make that work would be to assign IPs to people and say that you are now responsible for whatever happens on that IP address. Yeah, that's kind of
bad. Don't give them ideas.
Yeah, I know. I should really learn when to shut up, shouldn't I?
IPv6!
Alright, next story up is from Electronista? I'm not quite sure. I've been drinking. Chanute, a small Kansas town with a population near 9,000, is seeking to expand its current municipal fiber in order to offer broadband services to its residents. To do so, the town must abide by a law from 1947 to seek permission from the Kansas Corporation Commission to sell bonds for the funds to build out the infrastructure. However, AT&T holds concerns over the potential effects that the municipal service will have on the area, large enough that the company asked for permission to intervene into the proceedings. Currently, Chanute utilizes a fiber network that delivers broadband to government facilities in the area, as well as a local community college, hospital, and select businesses. This is beyond other services the city offers to the public, such as free Wi-Fi in its parks. The city is proposing a fiber-to-home project, offering residents a chance to get 1 gigabit fiber connections for only $40 a month. In order to do so, the Wichita Eagle reports, Chanute must ask for the KCC for permission to sell bonds to cover the cost for the expansion. Since Chanute would be doing the build-out as an expansion of its current utility, it follows a law from 1947 that requires municipalities to get commission approval for bonds to pay for construction, expanding, or improving utility service. There are a few catches, including the fact that the expansion cannot result in the duplication of utility services that already exist in the area or areas to be serviced by the municipality. AT&T's subsidiary Southwestern Bell Telephone Company learned of Chanute's plan to expand fiber and petitioned the KCC for the chance to intervene on the proceedings. According to AT&T, its interests, along with its customer base, could be affected by any order or determination of the commission makes in regard to the city's request. The KCC granted AT&T's petition since it asserted its legal right to do so without impacting the proceeders. So I'm going to summarize here because I don't feel like reading the rest of this. AT&T, because of the way these laws are written, this small town wants to expand their own fiber network, right? And AT&T is able to say, nope, that affects our business and possibly duplicates our service. Therefore, we can intervene and say no. The thing is, the town is arguing it does not duplicate their service because AT&T's DSL is 6 megabit per second versus, you know, gigabit fiber. But AT&T is saying, no, why do you want that? We're already giving you 6 megabit. That's good enough.
So it's being the home of capitalism.
Yeah. But that's not capitalism.
That's cronyism, yeah.
You can't have...
You can't compete with us. That's
better,
not fair.
Cheaper system than we do? That's unfair.
And that's exactly it.
But that's actually still going to court. The town could win.
Yeah, that's going to court.
And if, you know, America's this bastion of freedom like it's meant to be for commerce and stuff like that, then they should win.
And they should win. There's a lot of things. We're less free economically than we ever have been in history, and we've been dropping in any index that measures that. A decade ago, we were in the top 10. 5 years ago, we were in the top 15. We're not in the top 20 anymore.
Dude, we have monopolies out of the ass here.
Oh, well, you really suck. We only mostly suck.
Yeah, like at least you have more than two places to buy food, you know?
Oh, yeah, we've got a few dozen. We even still have local-owned grocery stores where the dude actually lives in the town his store's in.
We have less and less every year, you know? And another major retailer is they just can't join in because Woolworths and Coles have the majority of everything sewn up. And they work in conjunction with Westfield so that if someone new does come into town, they want to move into one of the giant shopping complexes. Yeah, about that rent you're going to pay, that's going to be, probably 15 times more than what Woolworths and Coles pay. Good luck to you. So, it's very anti-competitive.
What do they do about somebody buying their own building?
You wouldn't be able to do it. Because they'd petition local and state laws, governments to stop you from doing that.
Man, if that doesn't work, accidents.
Yeah, you always get back to what we were thinking about earlier, huh?
Yeah. No one really ever wants to talk about it because it's a very shameful, shameful shit, man. There's so much money in politics now that you can't fix the system. It's just too corrupt.
All right, last story I've got for tonight. This is from technologyreview.com. And this is not a terribly depressing story. Well, it kind of is. It's depressing in a fact. It's cyberpunk as hell. That's why I've got it. Many of the estimated 50 million lithium-ion laptop batteries discarded every year could provide electrical storage sufficient to light homes in poor countries, researchers say. Now, okay, get this concept here. In And work being aired this week at a conference in San Jose, researchers at IBM Research India in Bangalore have found that at least 70% of all discarded batteries have enough life left to power an LED light at least 4 hours a day for a year. And while it's possible to combine LED lighting with solar panels and rechargeable batteries, using discarded batteries could make the approach far cheaper. The most costly component in these systems is often the battery, said Vikas Chandan, a research scientist at the lab's Smarter Energy Group who led the project. In this case, the most expensive part of your storage solution is coming from trash. The IBM group, working with a hardware R&D firm called Radio Studio, tore open discarded laptop battery packaging and extracted individual storage units called cells, tested those individually to pick out the good ones, and recombined them into form refurbished battery packs. Then, after charging dongles as well as circuitry to prevent overheating, they gave them to 5 users in Bangalore who lived in slums or operated sidewalk carts. 3 months later, the users said the battery packs had worked well. The main request was for rat-resistant wires and brighter bulbs.
Rat-resistant wires.
Said Moni Jean, a research engineer at the group. A revised setup is now being tested.
Around the next setup, they send out bottles of Tabasco sauce with it.
Yeah, no kidding. Around 15 million laptop and desktop computers are discarded in the United States every year, according to the EPA. Meanwhile, in India alone, about 400 million people lack grid-connected electricity. So IBM is not considering this as a business, but says the technology could be offered free to poor countries. So what they're talking about is taking old laptop batteries from the garbage, ripping apart the cells, finding the good ones, building new battery packs out of waste electronic cells, slapping them on solar panels and using them to light homes in poor countries.
That is awesome as fuck.
They're building infrastructure out of waste. That's kind of depressing and kind of awesome.
I don't say depressing at all. It's awesome.
This is almost as hardcore as that dude. I think he was in East Timor or something like that. Because they had good enough lighting in their little tin huts and stuff. He was going around and charging like bugger all to cut a hole in your roof and then put a plastic bottle with water in it.
And it's still not purifying the water, yeah.
Yeah. Well, no, it wasn't purifying the water. They were using it as a light, like the reflective.
Yeah,
it was brilliant. This is one of the most cyberpunk things I've heard in a long time.
Yeah, I thought you guys would appreciate this story.
Yeah.
Just taking the waste laptop batteries and... it's damn, you know?
The streets will find a way.
Yeah. I consider it uplifting and wonderful. This is a really cool idea.
Hmm.
We can't have this on Pure Decking. Uplifting and wonderful? Fuck that.
I mean...
You don't think it's depressing that people are living in huts and using trash to build functioning gear?
Well, we knew the
first
part
before. I
think
people using trash to better their lives is awesome. And I already knew people in India had shit for life.
Well, there's that.
So, what I'm hearing, you're hearing people are taking trash, and isn't it horrible they're taking trash? I'm hearing there's this dude that has a shit life and has just found a way to make his life better by taking things other people are throwing away, and his life is now getting better for cheap. That is awesome.
Fair point. That's a fair point.
Yeah.
And after the rest of the depression in this show, we need to end on something nice, right?
Yeah. More power to him, man. I just hope no corporation gets all greedy up in this shit, you know?
Oh.
Starts building their cells so they can't be repurposed like that?
Exactly. You know? Because you know there's some fucking douchebag out there who's making the proposal because it's going to save the company the many.
Now I want to see large slum networks... wired up with.
Built out of e-waste. Well, you think about it, I've still got a netbook and some laptops that are probably getting on a decade old now, and they still work. I mean, the batteries don't hold nearly the charge they used to, but, you know, whatever. You can still do useful things with them. I could see slums using old gear and getting shit up and going beyond just lighting. I mean... You know, a laptop 10 years old is still going to have, you know, it'll be Wi-Fi B, you know, 802.11b, but it'll still have Wi-Fi in it. You could do ad hocs.
Yeah, it's still Wi-Fi. And who knows what sort of programming somebody's going to come up with down the track.
Well, hell, you know, you get them online, and all it takes is one person who's, you know, in the cluster who can get close enough to something with open Wi-Fi, right?
Yep.
So,
Jeremy's actually doing something cool with some old gear. I should have saved the link for the story. But there's scientists looking into using the old broadcast towers, trying to do nationwide Wi-Fi.
Oh, fun.
Dude, that's cool.
Because we're moving from just the old analog signal to digital. The analog equipment still exists, and think of the range on it. Like, is there a way to use that old analog signal that now isn't being used
in
nationwide Wi-Fi?
I know a lot of people were after the television networks here to give up the airwave space because we're on digital TV now and they don't need it. But apparently they still owned a lot of the bandwidth.
A lot of that can't be given up for emergency broadcast reasons.
Yeah. So I know they were after them to give up some of that, and there was some talk of trying to build, you know, high-speed datacom over that bandwidth. So I don't know.
And the individual broadcast networks could still even look into that as a business model for revenue.
Oh, yeah. Oh, hell, anything to get some competition back into the ISP space, right?
Nope.
So, anyways, let's get this out of the way. We're almost done. I guess what I found. I found these weird sound effects from some show that I wasn't involved in on the broadcast box. So
I don't know anything about that.
Me either. Probably some guy called Bitch Mops.
How I computer.
He's going to regret making that.
I'm sure he already does.
I think it comes close to the 1970s Batman one, that one.
It does. Yes,
You're running it through the mixer now?
No, that's just some file I found on this strange folder sitting on the broadcast box.
You should probably delete that.
I found this strange folder. You're in security. Don't you know not to double click on strange folders?
Well, they're wave files, man. I mean, what they can do? Oh, as I say that, I'm sure somebody's now going, ooh, buffer overflow in the wave file.
I was thinking that when you said, it's just a wave file.
I was thinking hidden.
Awesome, he doesn't fucking know.
Yes, I do. Oh. Microsoft had problems for years with a lot of their media formats having scripting support in them.
Damn it.
So, anyways, I've been drinking. Give me a break. All right. The digital dojo I have for today. This is a fun concept. This is from Hackaday. Egmont took the simplistic approach and used an old cigarette lighter to USB adapter, like for your car. And first, he removed the battery connector from the bottom of the broken angle connector, or bottle of the broken angle grinder. Next, the surrounding casing from the cigarette lighter was removed so that the adapter's wire could be soldered directly to the contacts. The USB ports were then glued on the top of the connector. The adapter was rated from 9-volt to 24-volt input, so he was fine to use that 18-volt tool battery. What this guy's done is he took an angle grinder, a rechargeable battery, like a cordless tool battery, and took a car adapter and just jammed it on top of it and made a portable USB charger for, like, his phone.
That is cool.
Like an old drill battery and shit, right? So, kind of in line with reusing your laptop batteries, but not really. This is reusing tool batteries. So, I thought it was a cool thing. The link will be in the show notes, obviously, but it's a pretty simple concept. Apparently, the voltage converter that are used in most of the cheapy car cigarette lighters are, you know, to USB adapters can handle more than 12 volts. So you might look into you'll have to crack it open and see what chip it's using and look it up.
But, yeah, that's the only thing I was like, oh, wow, that's I didn't know that. That was interesting.
Yeah, I mean, it apparently the rate on that one was rated from 9 to 24 volts. So
yeah.
But it looked like you just cracked open one of the cheapy ones you get at the grocery store for like $5. So, it'd be worth checking, especially if you've got, you know, I know a lot of the cordless tools, it's not necessarily 18 volts. Some are floating around 14 volt, 12 volt. So.
Well, see, Morps, I was just looking at it this way. In a pinch, natural disaster, things like that, hey, now I can charge my phone using the cordless batteries and stuff I've got cordless drills and stuff I've got lying around my house.
Absolutely.
Thinking of, those high-powered lamps and stuff you can get today that are rechargeable.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How many hours of Ingress can you play on a drill battery?
I don't know, but that's definitely something we're going to have to test up at the meetup. But no, I was actually thinking of this today after we spoke about this morning. And being in the summer storm season, we are, like, Sydney got belted last night and people have been without power for a couple of days. They've been having, I think, mobile battery recharging stations going around. Like, people can't live without their cell phones for more than, 2 days. So the government's got to put in emergency fucking recharging ports.
Why? Just use your fucking car. If you've got gas in your car, you can run your car and get your phone charged up.
We have to advertise not to do this because people are killing themselves in their garage.
You open your garage.
Yes.
You open your fucking garage.
I'm sorry I asked that.
Actually, I don't feel bad.
They're weeding out the people. They're weeding out the stupid people. Don't advertise.
Okay, like, we run advertising. Don't do this. Like, this is how fucking bad society's become. But, yeah, it's an amazing fucking thing.
Emergency. Emergency. Emergency.
Yes, they're all idiots and are going to die. So I'm actually thinking about rigging one up in the next couple of days, and I'll get back to you on how the project went.
Nice.
My wife's just buying a new phone today, and I look forward to blowing it up.
All right.
No, I've got access to a next gen phone that she's given up her old one. And it's got battery problems anyway, so I might as well play with it and see what I can do. So if it's easy to do, I'll let you guys know next week.
What generally will happen with these kind of voltage regulators, they're kind of a dumb circuit, but they'll usually have a fuse in them just in case.
Yeah.
So either one or two things is going to happen. One, it's not going to feed it enough juice, for whatever battery pack you're playing with. Because if you don't hit a threshold, you won't get the 5 volts out of it because whatever they're using to regulate it down needs to a certain amount to run on, right?
Well,
notice that their 5-volt regulator says it needs at least 9 coming in.
Well, that's for a linear regulator. Switching regulators are a lot more efficient. Switching regulators, you can get down to like 6 volts before you get drop-off.
I guess it just depends on which one you're using. It's going to be whatever in the cheap car adapter, right? Because I assume that's the plan. You buy the $5 car adapter and crack it open and solder on it. But, if it goes up to a high voltage, worst you're going to do if it's got a fuse is pop the fuse.
Exactly.
If it doesn't have a fuse, get interesting then. But, at that point, you check it with the multimeter before you plug in your phone. Just a thought. So,
it's just
checking with the multimeter only does so much. Once you put a load on it, voltage is going to sag.
That's true. That's true.
Yeah, it's just the stars have lined up, and all the parts I need for a project just happened to fall in my lap today for this project.
Nice.
So,
We might check the Hackaday link and see if they've got some more info on it than just a quick summary I gave. Because he took one of the broken tools to get a connector for the battery.
Well, I'm going to go the IHN way. I'm just going to slide the pants in the off position and go for it.
Yeah. You're going to stab screwdrivers into the contacts and then put the wire on them.
There you go. Galvanized nails and away I go.
There you go.
Short out of lithium. This is a good idea.
All right. I'll be careful to wear the super, super cling wrap plastic face shield.
Oh, God. But honey, if I explain to the nice man that I can blow up my laptop, he'll let me keep my water.
I'm just okay. Are you remember to reference your hit book? So you've decided to electrocute yourself. You all thought I was kidding when I made that joke this morning, didn't you? All right.
He was born and died like he lived. Stupid.
All right. Listen to the stream. We're always working on it. I'm going to be putting some time in on it next few days. I think, of course, Pure Decking every Friday night. Missing Dialogues on Tuesdays. Or no, he's doing Reality Bites now, isn't he?
I've lost track.
Reality Bites.
It's lore on Tuesdays.
Yeah.
of course, the Galaxy 15 radio site, the Twitter handle, the feedback forum, the subreddit, the IRC channel, smoke signals. We probably won't pay any attention to smoke signals, truthfully, but hey, whatever works for you. So,
it's been raining. It depends. If you get a fire big enough for me to see that smoke signal, I will pay attention to it.
Damn right.
One,
I
will shit myself.
And once again, remember to. Once again, remember to take photos of all your crimes, send them to us, and we'll tell you how evil and how cool you are.
All right. Good night.
Emergency.
I need more bourbon.
Emergency. Emergency.
No, 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 no,